He was a provincial cup champion on the footy field, dominated the Ironman claimers, and now is a Group 1 tipster. His name is David Gately, or Gator to his mates. So let's welcome in Gator for Racing Rewind on RSN Central.
Good morning to you, David.
Racing Rewind. I'm confused.
No, I'm confused a little bit, but, you know, we probably just pushed the wrong button. There wouldn't be the first time I pushed the wrong buttons, but we apologise. It's time for the game plan, Gator.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, you've had a few weeks off, but luckily I've never made a mistake, so I can pass judgment.
Hey, we were talking about, and we've got a lot of interest and feedback from our listeners here on RSN Central, talking about, in local sport, great finishes to matches. When you were playing football or coaching football, or play, I don't know if you play cricket or not, or soccer, Gator, was there a finish that remains in your memory today?
The one that springs to mind was our second year. I was coaching at Oakley in the Ammos. We'd won the flag the first year, and we were behind all day in the preliminary final, all day. The ball comes in, the seconds remaining. Keyfold drops the mark, fills at the back. As he kicks it, siren goes, we hit the front and get into the grand final and obviously go up a grade if you make the granny in Ammos. So won the granny, and but the actual, that moment was probably the best feeling I've had in a team sport environment ever. Just ran around like a lunatic for 10 minutes. Yeah. The whole team did. It was truly magical. So there you go, this one.
There's no better feeling in sport, really, is there, when you win a match like that?
It brings back a big smile even thinking about it. So thanks for that memory. That was pleasant.
Anytime. 0416 905 052 to join our conversation with David Gately this morning for our game plan. Gator, they tell me, Nicholas Quinn anyway, you had 5 winners at Flemington yesterday, so you are seeing him well this summer. We'll talk about, of course, the horse for our game plan. That is our horse that we go through this weekend. He is our lock, or she is our lock, for our multis. So which race are we heading to?
Look, I had a little bit of trouble this week. I mean, go back 2 weeks and, you know, we referenced that we're much more confident Sydney and Melbourne, and fortunately had a bit of luck in Sydney. And then last week, much more confident Melbourne than Sydney, and had a good week, Melbourne. This week, I'm finding it a little more challenging, differentiating between the two states. Still quietly confident, but, I don't know what's going to happen with the hillside track. Obviously, the rail comes back to the true. We had a couple of 8-metre spots the last two meetings here. One of them was a dynamite swoopers track, and they rolled the inside lanes, and it was a dynamite inside track. So, I don't know what hope poor punters have got. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Well, the rail's back in the true. Surely it plays fair.
That's what I'm hoping for, but, I've almost given up on... Maybe they'll aerate 7 metres of it from the 3-metre to the 4 or something. It does get frustrating, but I certainly know curators are doing their best. It's a very hard hard job outdoor sport, but I think as long as punters are given all the information at the start, I think that's really important. Off my high horse and onto a horse, and I think the best is probably... Look, it's probably all-time legend in Sydney, Randwick Race 10. So they've split the highways again, so it's going really well. Race 10, number 5, all-time legend. Look, has won at 1600, so I don't have a major, obviously, a query with him. I'm pretty confident he'll win again. I think it's right at the end of his distance range, though, but he has been impressive both wins this prep. I think he can win again. And out of the 19 races, Melbourne-Sydney on Saturday, he's probably the one I'm most confident. That's Race 10, number 5.
Did we have a bad training session, Gator? Because you've come off the track into our selection meeting fired up a little bit.
Yeah, look, no, it's a bit flat. As you well know, I'm meant to be in Noosa right now.
Yes.
The struggle, real-world problems, right? Real-world problems. Yeah. So I wake up Saturday morning, it's 13 degrees and hailing on me as I go for a run, and I thought... This isn't really Noosa, but as I say, real world problems, mate. If that's our biggest issue, we're going well.
We've all been through it, Gator. I tell you what, I think I packed my bags. I was at the airport about 7 times over my holiday period and never left Melbourne. So I feel your pain. What about the race that Yeah, really had to ask Mrs. Gator and for a cup of tea just to break it up a little bit so you could work out. And then finally you worked it out. Now you got some confidence for that particular contest.
Yeah, look, it's probably race eight at Hillside because the key to the race is Harder for Science, isn't he? I mean, yep. I think his jump out was terrific, just quietly. I think he's a really good horse. Obviously, if he's beating a horse like Defiant Dancer, and he was probably the best run in the race in a group two, that was won by Pretty Brazen. He went on to beat home Arcadia Queen. So it's pretty easy to like. Last trip was probably conclusive. He's basically got length on benchmark 70 grade, if he's right. He's first up 1,500. So what do we do? Obviously, he has to go in everything. But, you know, is there some value around him, you know, if he's beatable? I certainly think he's a much better horse than Bell's Innocent. But when I saw 25-1 go up on this horse, I thought it's just simply the wrong price. A really good win second up with a massive weight. And then the Lakeside run was better than it looks. He was closing when he ran out of luck. It was a real on-pace dominated race. He ran six. The first five in the race all sat in the first five spots. So I think he's, win, lose or draw, I think he's way over his odds, Bell's Innocent. Harder for Sant is a must. You've got in-form horses like King of Magnus, you know, Spud, War Critic, Whittington Stone. Typically challenging benchmark 70, but complicated by the best horse being first up, you know, at 1,500. So a challenge for punters, I think.
All right, then. So we're getting, what, $23 Bell's Innocent at the moment, $2.80 with Heart of Bessons. So from a staking point of view, Gator, how do you recommend we play this race?
Well, I think, to be honest, look, I'm not one who sort of is anchored in really to market leads, but I think if I was going to have a decent go on the best horse, and that's Heart of Bessons, I'd probably want a bit of market confidence with me in this instance. You know, and look, Stable have openly said, you know, it's probably a length better, you know, with that touch of jar out of the track, it's going to be a warm day again on Saturday. So I think there's some queries at the price, but he is the best horse. So, as I've said a million times, it's a very good place to start when you're doing form for any race. So, look, I could certainly back Bell's Innocent at that huge price. And then we'll see about favour bets and Quinella plays, perhaps. Certainly Quinella is often a nice way to go, I find. If you've got the race right, you can be rewarded really well.
Loving our listeners today. The SMSs are flowing in. 0416905052 to join our conversation. Gase, I'll get to your questions in just a moment, and there's plenty to get through to, David, before you go on a break. What about the horse that's D-Day? The horse that you had to have a quiet word to, saying, well, it's time that you really stand up and you deliver.
Yeah, look, it's probably a bit harsh, but I want to see Samu come back and do something. So he's in race four, horse number seven, still a maiden, but good enough to run a two lengths off Wild Ruler.
This is in Sydney.
Race four, number seven, yep. Sydney. Yep, Asamu. First, I thought the trial was terrific. Beat home Pelcher in the heat is no slouch. And I think he's really backable here in the race. Obviously, the face is going to be hard to beat. Valaquinta has trialled really well. Has form around September run. That's the horse who, of course, beat Wild Ruler in that form. So the form's intertwined if you look deep enough. But I just want to see him come back and do something. Race four, number seven, Asamu. First up, Stable don't often have them up and firing, do they, fresh? But as I say, I love the trial, and I just got drawn in by the price. I think his value against the favourites here. So I want to see how he goes, and happy to back him, but I'd be disappointed if he doesn't run well.
So he's at $5. There's a horse in that race, Valaquinta. I think he showed enough for mine last preparation, Gate, and he had that operation as well to be gelled. And what do you think of his chances coming back?
No, big chance. Yeah. His trial was really good. He was settled back in the heat and hit the line nicely. He looked like he'd had enough right on the line. So I just wonder if, you know, this one will top him off. But I think he's a serious winning hope. His last fresh run, second to Muntasira. Then he was 3.3 lengths off September run. That was a similar margin Wild Ruler was beaten. That's the horse that Asamu's, we're taking the line through Asamu when he was beaten two lengths by that horse, Wild Ruler, in Sydney. So easy line to draw. Clear winning hope, but they're both first up, so it can be a bit of a challenge for punters.
All right, then. What about the highlight for you this weekend?
Well, it has to be the Carrington Stakes. I mean, only because other than that, it's there's some good racing, don't get me wrong, but it's pretty much all benchmarks apart from the listed race, the Carrington Stakes. And, you know, is Bandersnatch the horse we'd all hoped? I thought he was really good last time. You know, I think he got pretty close to King of Hastings, very close, in fact. You saw King of Hastings run well on the Gold Coast last week. And what he did do was record the quickest last 600 of the day. And he strikes a race with a bit of speed, which he needs, because he can get a bit keen, as we saw two runs ago, when he probably beat himself with that slow mid-race pace at Flemington. So I think he's a listed grade horse. I think he'd be, you know, beyond that, sort of inter-group level, may well test him, but this is his race down in the weight. I think he's backable, and I don't think there's too many winning hopes in the race. So it's the highlight race for me.
$2.80, is that his right price? What's his right price in your eyes?
Yeah, look, I'd probably want $3. I think we'll get it as well. You know, $3 is sort of triple your money. You know, if you run it 10 times, could he win? You know, would he win three of them? Probably. So I think it's fair enough.
All right, then. So we might have a look at your parlay, your famous parlay 2 and 3 as well for this weekend's racing before we get to everybody's questions.
Just a brief end of that sentence. That was good. So, Randwick race 7, let's go with Sausage. He gets back into dry ground, I think it's the key. Race 9, we've got Felica, who peaks third up here. I think she's a great value player around double figures. And race 10, all-time legend. Probably our best for the day. So, race 7 is Sausage, race 9, Felica, race 10, all-time legend. Parlay 2 and 3, game on.
And they are all, of course, in Sydney on the weekend.
Correct,
mate. Hey, Gator, you ready to go?
Yeah.
So here we go. Hi, guys. Gator's thoughts on two horses I like this weekend. Race 8, horse number 8, Bandersnatch. And race 4, number 2, Mosh Music. Happy to forgive last run with Mosh Music. Both look well placed. I know Pete did not have a best at Ascot Saturday, so I will. Race 1, number 11, Trisome, I think you can get around $3.80. That's from Ryan from WA Gator.
Yeah, we've certainly touched on Bandersnatch. I'm with him on Saturday, and I think, as I said, we'll get $3. Mosh Music, I tend to agree. I think it's a forgive run. She was able to put herself into the race, which we predicted last time. I was pretty keen on her third up. She looked ready to win. But then they sort of crawled, and then she was held up at a key stage. She had to pick up and sprint. I don't think that's her go. So I think out to a staying trip here, she has to get another go for mine. Look, WT did run straight by her last time off that moderate speed, and Stars of Caram's getting fitter. But I'm going to stick with Mosh Music. I'm convinced she's a good mare and out to the staying trip, so I'm with him there.
Good on you, Ryan from WA. Thanks for listening. Gator, I have a $500 bonus bet. Do I load it on Quantum Mechanic for a nice profit, or do I have a crack at some value in Translator and win big? Also, Heart of Besant's been scratched a few times before accepting here, and I've seen someone has put a huge bet on it to win already. Your thoughts there, Gator?
Well, as I say, I think he's the best horse.
Yep.
So, you know, if he can cross the line with Pretty Brazen, he could win any benchmark 70 in this country. So, you know, first up at 1,500 has to be a query, but then again, you know, you're getting some odds to find out. It's not like he's $1.20. So, I think best horse, if you're gravitating to one thing, it's a good one to gravitate to. Translator's certainly in the mix, probably in that second or third level hopes for me, and certainly keen on Quantum Mechanic. I think she should have won last time. The Quinoa sat up on the speed. She was held up just about 20 metres too long before zooming home. Now, what she can do on Saturday is put herself into the race with Jamie Carr on board third up, and I think she's the one to beat, race 5, number 2, Quantum Mechanic. So if I had a free couple of hundred, I think she's probably the safest play out of those three.
You're with Gareth Hall and David Gately for Gator's Game Plan ahead of the meetings in Sydney and also in Melbourne this weekend. And we are going through your questions here for this segment. And the next question will go to... Hi, Gareth. Can you ask Gator what he thought of Mystic Journey's run last night? Regards from Sandy from the Peninsula. G'day, Sandy.
Probably part of the world. Yeah, look, I think we all expected a little more, but, you know, it wasn't disgraceful. No, it hasn't really been a dynamo first up, so not the end of the world either. Next run tells us. Crossroads, though.
Yeah. because she had a funny old preparation last time, didn't she? Like she didn't fire in the early part, then she won a race, and then she was unlucky during that Flemington Carnival in Cup Week. And 1,200 metres, what's her pet distance? I think she's a 1,400 to 1,600 metre horse. I think her best trip's over the mile.
Tend to agree. Yeah, so, you know, she can run fifth in a Cox Plate, a really hot Cox Plate too. So there's no doubting she's very, very good. So, yeah, she'll step up and she'll be fitter next time. Yeah, as I say, but I certainly wouldn't be selling the farm.
All right, then 0416905052 to join our conversation. If you got a question for Gator, can you ask the alligator how many days a week he would punt? I do well on a Saturday most weeks, but find it midweek hard yakker. So fair to say I'm only playing ball on the big days now, Gator.
It just depends. Obviously, if it's a feature meeting, I'd love to be involved. But, you know, if it's something that stands out, I'll have a play as well. But basically, Wednesday's a pretty full-on day for me, so I tend to have the races on in the background and just have a few little plays maybe. But the main focus is Saturday. But again, working all day Saturday can make that side of it a bit challenging too. So often the bets are placed, you know, at the start of the day, which again has its pros and cons, doesn't it? Sometimes you get really good prices and overs. You know, like, say, Bowery Breeze a couple of weeks ago. What did she win at? $4 something. She was $13 on Wednesday. And other times you're beaten by, an emerging track pattern. But that's the nature of the game, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, that's when you throw your phone in the coach's box when you, you see track bias after you've delivered all of your tips and put your bets on, Gaither. But yeah. I guess that's what sometimes with the game plan, and we try to explain it here on RSN Central with you, is that you might have to change your plan on a Saturday after watching a few races.
Yeah, that's right, and it's pretty easy because you know there's a bit of labour that goes into getting your answer. So you've got faith in what you're doing. You've got faith in the process. So I understand fully why you're loyal to that, but I think that bit of flexibility is really important, especially in the modern era of racing where. I think track patterns more relevant and more prevalent now than it certainly was when I was first getting into the sport, you know, 1,000 years ago.
Now, David, we are a big family here, and our listeners are part of our family, and one of our listeners are just trying to make you feel a little bit better. Hey, Gareth, a special from Noosa here, raining here today, so Gator better off in sunny Melbourne, maybe.
Yeah, no, I take that on board. You know, I think I know where I'd rather be, but I do take that on board. You know, we have got a nice day in Melbourne. What time is it though? 11:57. We'll have another look in 2 minutes and just see how things are shaping.
It's a hot weekend, Gator. You'd have to get your runs done nice and early. Do you like running in 40-degree heat?
No one does. There's no fun in that, and it's not good for you either. So,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think a maximum of 30 minutes. Exercise in that sort of heat is the way to go.
All right, then. Hi, Gareth. Can you please ask Gator about Second Slip, Race 8 tomorrow at Moonee Valley? That's from Jimmy.
The Valley. I haven't looked at the Valley yet, but outside of obviously that laughable Group 2 thing.
You're not a fan of the Australian Stakes?
Well, it's not a Group 2 race, is it?
No, but that's the... I think Matty Williams had an interesting discussion, Gator, with Michael Felgate today. The prize money for these benchmark races on a Saturday especially isn't much different to the listed group races these days. So,
really valid point, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's like anything, really. And if you win a listed race or a group race, unless you're a filly, and you get some... black book about all of it, then it's and something on your page, there's no point really doing too many points by winning a race like a list or a group race when you can go and go through your grades.
No, it's a really valid point. I don't have anything to add to that. I think it's something that's Racing Australia need to take on board and make it appealing to be in those good races, because they won't be called good races for long if we keep serving up that sort of stuff. But, you know, there's a certain number of good horses only anyway, isn't there? And we're on the eve of a massive carnival. Yeah. Once this carnival gets going, it's still going in mid-April. So It's a long, road.
It never stops, does it, really? If you're swimming and you're following racing, it's hard to really come up for oxygen, because as soon as that Melbourne Carnival finishes, you go to Perth and then the Gold Coast and Queensland, and then you just come up for a little bit of air, and then the Stars are trialling in Sydney and Melbourne at the moment, and the All Stakes is not far away in the first weekend of February. So there isn't really a downtime now in racing.
No, that's right. It's something you know, I've been sort of referencing for a number of years. There's not much of the off-season. It's pretty sort of grey. And, I mean, it's great for us that follow the sport all year round. It's fabulous. But obviously there's only so many, you know, inverted commas, good horses. Mm-hmm. And just by attrition, it has to water down a bit. But, you know, if everyone's okay with that, then that's the landscape we're in.
Love this question from Mark. Good on you, Mark. Hey, Gator, who's more important in a footy team? The coaching or the star player? I have this discussion with my mates all of the time, i.e. Pagan, Kerry, Hardwick, Dusty. That's from Mark. I think in the NFL, and you love your NFL, I think that question's been answered for Mark when you have a look at Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, look,
it's Brady, isn't it?
Say again?
I'd give it, like, Brady's more important than Bill.
So I think as a general answer to that question, I think the coach is always the most important person in your organisation. It's great to have a strong committee. It's great to have good players. But I think, you know, I think the coach sets the culture of the place. And certainly Belichick has done that. And, you know, most AFL coaches, we've seen star players leave. The first one that springs to mind is the Stevens from Port Adelaide. They let him go. They kept the culture. They won the flag the next year. I think star players come and go. And, you know, they're, you know, like... you know, like what was Kevin Sheedy's, the $2 plumber or something?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that's my answer.
All right.
And I've played and coached.
I'll pose this question to you, Gator. You're a Richmond supporter.
Yeah.
If you could only have one, would you have Dustin Martin or Damien Hardwick?
That's a different question.
No, it's not. It's the same. Well, it's like, would you prefer your coach or your best player?
Yeah, no, I think that's a different thing. So overall, as I say, I think the coach is the most important person in any organisation. From what we've achieved, Richmond, so far, it's certainly been on the back of an Alex Rance and certainly a Dustin Martin, those sort of guys that have been real pin-up sort of. But they can't win it on their own. You know, it's everyone playing their role and everyone playing their part. And I think the coach sets that.
You say that. I think Dustin nearly won. Well, in that second quarter anyway last year, he dragged your footy club, I think, to their third premiership. But that's a great topic. Well done to Mark there. Hey, Gator, your thoughts on Mr. Vine M from Barry number one, race six Saturday at Sandown, please. That's from Chris from Traralgon. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think she's much good, but, you know, she's sort of across the line with everything else. Turns to go, the winner won easily. I think she's very honest, though. Tries hard. No knock on her, but I don't think she's quite good enough. From that draw, gives her a good opportunity, though, to find a good spot and give herself every chance to run well.
Can you ask Gator if he thinks Art Cadeau is a sure thing in race two in Sydney on Saturday?
Oh, look, that's not an easy highway, that one. And, as I say, they've split the highways again, which is awesome. But I tip Shelby 66 on top, but I'm scared stiff of Art Cadeau. I mean, just never runs poorly, this horse. In fact, he actually never missed a Quinella. If he can cope with the drop back to 1,100... he can certainly win that race.
How has Gator assessed Nash up in Queensland? I've seen him on some long shots and it gave them peach of rides there to place. That's Nash Rewilla, of course.
Yeah, if you're after a bad word about Nash Rewilla, you've come to the wrong place. He's just a fabulous rider. I love backing him when he's on one leg off tip.
That was from Sam from Tassie. Good on you, Sam. Hey, Gator Dog, which horse could be used as a night watchman on the weekend? One where you're late in the day looking for a reliable winner or a good chance, whatever the odds are, that holds down the fort for us. I like that analogy, Tom.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. Yeah. So night watchman, okay. Mm-hmm. This can be an ongoing sort
that could
of thing.
Be Oz Racing Family new segment as well that Tom's come up with there, Gator.
Yeah, no, don't put more work on me. But no, we'll have a think about it. That's fine. Look, we touched on Salika earlier as part of our parlay.
Yep.
I think she's... look, I'm scared of Zing, who we were with last time, and Barry Breeze were with the start before. It's a good little race, but I think Salika's the one over the odds, and she can put herself into the race from that draw. I think she's great value. So she's in race 9, number 3, around $10, tab. Last look. I think she'll run well without being a moral, and she's probably the one that I could put in there and be confident that she'd hold up an end.
All right, race 9, number 3, Salika there, the night watchman. The Nathan Lyon of Gator's game plan this weekend. Gator. I'm in a quaddie syndicate with four mates. Currently, we pick one horse per race every Saturday and can have up to five in each leg. Would we be better giving one person every fifth week the entire responsibility or stick with the brackets, not so successful format as their punting coach, Gator? What would you recommend?
Yeah, look, the one horse thing I found in my younger day didn't really work, but it's good fun. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think what you could always do is have like a secret ballot. So okay. if there's an overlap of a horse, you don't give them an extra. So it just costs you less. And obviously, by its very definition, if there's more people, more voting for the one horse, your confidence collectively is up. So that may be a way to get around it. But as long as it's fun, that's the key to it. Certainly those quaddy things, they're a good fun. And if you could fluke the odd one and get a trip to, Melbourne at the moment, awesome.
We do that with our Saturday Punters Club. Like, we could go, all right, then, Gator, you pick out race 5, Dino race 6, Warren race 7, but we just go, it's your turn, Gator. We don't have quaddies, but we just say you have your best bets and you play on if you get your money back. But it's fascinating to watch different punters clubs, how they perform. There's a host of punters clubs, thousands and thousands of punters clubs out there, Gator, and I would imagine a lot would rely on you and Dino and Warren on a Saturday morning. So they are fun, but you can pick. You might be able to pick 3 out of 4 winners with your punters club, but it's all about getting it right. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy, or we'd all be trillionaires. But as long as it's good fun, you're well ahead of the game. Because that's what it's all about, let's be honest. And as I say, if you fluke the odd one and get a trip away with the girls or the boys, it's certainly worthwhile.
Hallelujah, that's my answer. Coach every time, that's from Mark. Good on you, Mark. So Gator agrees with you. I'm on the other side of it. Tom agrees with me. Definitely the player over the coach. Derek says player over the coach. Dustin Martin is far more valuable to that organisation than Damien Hardwick. Brady's proven that this year. This is from Jerry over Belichick. So I think it's 4-2 with the ledger. Who's more important for a sporting club, coach or player? I think it can be different, Gator. I think there's sometimes coaches can be more important than the players.
Yeah.
Different, yeah. You know what I'm trying to say.
I sort of do, yeah. Look, there's probably no right or wrong. Everyone's opinion's valid, and they're obviously calling on their own experiences and what they see, and what they witness and what they feel and what they've done in sport themselves. So, I don't think there's a right or wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say that my opinion's the only one that's correct.
hey, Gator, who wins the Australia Stakes? That's from Sarah there. G'day, Sarah.
I think I'm going to enter. And a little bit sore from Sunday, but I still think I'm some chance. Outside of me, it might be Viridine, who's got a bit of a class edge on them, but he will give him a start up to Mad Leaders track. He's in trouble.
It's tough.
Not an easy race to assess, is it?
What's your highlight this weekend, Gator? You're taking a break, is that right?
Yeah, so just a couple of days off. So obviously we'll try and find somewhere interstate just to get away for a couple of days would be nice, and recharge the batteries for a massive carnival, because once we're up and running, as I say, it goes all the way through to Easter and beyond. So it's a fabulous time of year to be in this great game of ours.
So when does the captain come back here for the game plan? How many weeks are you having off?
I'll only miss one Thursday I'm so enamoured by you. I couldn't be that long away from your good self.
Who's the assistant coach? Got to work with. Who takes
that's
over?
For you to worry. That's for you to worry.
I'll,
you've got You've got the Shark there. He's always good for a laugh.
Yeah, I know, but he's with the opposition, Felgo. He won't allow him to come on my show. Good on you. Good on you, mate. Enjoy your break. Well-deserved. And make sure that you get up nice and early, and we don't want you running in this 40-degree heat.
Good tip from you. Thanks, mate.
Thanks.